We want to talk today about why COVID makes some people so much sicker than others. So here to make sense out of all of this is our own Dr. Florence Comite.
I'm Dr. Florence Comite, endocrinologist and founder of Comite Center for Precision Medicine and Health in New York City and the personalized health app Quantiome. You can find me on Instagram and social media at Comite Center. And my bestseller, Keep It Up, is available on Amazon.
Talk to me a little bit about the unique expression of COVID-19. What are the different expressions that we're seeing now?
We can consider COVID a spectrum disorder. No disease affects any one person or many people in the same way, even in the same family. There is a range of symptoms actually associated with the virus that expresses in unique patterns. Not everyone, for example, goes to the hospital with COVID. In fact, some people don't even have symptoms. So we see respiratory symptoms. We sometimes see body temperature changes, skin issues, changes in sense of taste and smell, GI upset, and any combination of these.
Why would a disease cause one person to have a sore throat and a rumbly stomach and another person a rash and a fever? They seem so different.
Much of this and much of the latest research points to an inappropriate immune response, either an inadequate one or over-responsive, under-responsive, or a person who isn't actually prepared to fight a virus, either because they have something called comorbidities and there are other conditions under the surface, or their makeup is such that they can't fight this response. They mount a response or a fight that's too weak or too strong. So when your immune system senses, uh-oh, there's something wrong here, it can go into overdrive, and that's called a cytokine storm, and that ends up with a lot of folks in the hospital and sometimes on respirators. So it's so strong that the body ends up attacking itself in the process. Things like lupus and rheumatoid arthritis and other conditions where the body actually attacks itself. So sometimes the immune system just overreacts, and that's what can happen with COVID as well.
So what would determine a just right Goldilocks type of immune response to COVID?
So we have some clues. There are recent studies that suggest even blood type, which I thought was a bit bogus, but that certain genetic markers, like blood type, which is a genetic marker, we express blood type from our genes. So a gene will dictate whether you're blood type A or B or O or some combination. And that can play a role in your body's immune response. In fact, if you're A, you're more at risk from COVID. If you're O, you're actually somewhat more protected, and B is somewhere in the middle. Another factor is called the viral load. That's a measurement of how quickly the virus is replicating in your body.
I had heard that type A was, you seemed a little more susceptible to a worse COVID.
Exactly. And so those folks have ended up in the hospital more often and on respirators. There's a really fascinating study that came out from Yale that just looked at the endothelial cell damage, which can drive disease. Now, the endothelial cells line tissues and act as a barrier to the blood system. So they line arteries and veins. And if and when we understand the pathology of COVID, disease expression in general is kind of highly complex. You heard me just mention autoimmune diseases like lupus and rheumatoid arthritis. And because people are complex, these disorders are very complex. Even diabetes. Type 2 diabetes, where many of us would just think, oh, okay, there are two types of diabetes. Type 1, where you need insulin a lot, and it can be seen in children, which is also autoimmune, by the way. You fight your own cells in your pancreas, and then you need insulin because your body can't make it. Or type 2, where we think, oh, it's just weight-driven, and we get older, and we get type 2. No, there are actually multiple types of type 2. We start with at least three subtypes of the type 2, and hundreds of genetic polymorphisms, which influence what diabetes looks like in an individual. There are some folks who have an 8-pack and still have diabetes. Where you work, what you do with your life in terms of your exercise, the food you eat, the amount of sleep you get, your personal history, family history, metabolism, I can go on and on, your body composition, all of this affects your health portfolio, and they're always changing. And that impacts COVID as well, whether you catch COVID, how your body reacts to COVID, whether you're going to have fever or not, or a cough, whether you're going to be hospitalized or not. And it's important to know how to keep your body strong, because we all will react differently to COVID. And the way your health is under the surface is also really important, keeping yourself strong.
You've been preaching this for decades. It sounds like a total luck of the draw as whether I get sick or I don't get sick and how sick I get.
I'm a firm believer, absolutely, that for the most part, not 100%, we can never say that, but you can own your own health destiny. I really believe that we each have control over 95% of our health. And that means that we don't have to leave it up to the doctors or even our genes. That by doing some simple sleuthing, for example, being our own detective about our health and taking some tiny baby steps into understanding how to optimize our health is the best way we can protect and support our body's immune system. I don't think people really understand what that means. And you know why, Pat? We're not taught that in medical school. The funny part about that is when I graduated Yale Medical School, and then my sister graduated after me, and my former husband graduated before me, and then my son graduated more recently. I remember my dad saying to me, okay, my daughter, now you're so smart, you're a Yale graduate medical student, tell me how to stay healthy. And I remember looking at him and shrugging my shoulders. I said, Dad, I don't know what you mean. We learned about disease. We didn't learn about health in medical school. That's why I started this lifelong journey to learn about how to stay healthy. And he never let up on me, by the way, Pat. I had a pretty tough dad. But I think the best advice is to invest in a deep dive into your health. It's not enough to look great, exercise, and eat well. The 8-pack, that might look great in these selfies, but it doesn't mean anything underneath, because all along, bit by bit, we're aging and our bodies are beginning to go south. Father time takes away what Mother Nature gives us. It starts in our 30s. So you really need to understand what's going on at the cellular or metabolic level. And what I mean by that is the data speaks to me and should speak to everybody. It means how do your hormones and genetics and lifestyle, personal and family history, how do they all relate? Disease puts a huge stress on the body. So viruses like COVID, bacteria like pneumonia, it's like how a pipe breaks where it's the weakest. Anything that's suboptimal in your health is at risk for breaking when you're exposed to infections. Let me repeat that, because my colleague Cecilia, who said that to us, anything that's suboptimal in your health is at risk for breaking when you're exposed to infection. That is why when I speak to hundreds, if not thousands, of my patients over the years, they tell me that a parent or a grandparent died from pneumonia. There was nothing really wrong with them. This is such a common statement. But they died with pneumonia. And that is so common. And that's what we're hearing today about COVID. But I've heard it all along.
So are you suggesting that COVID might not cause all these different symptoms, but just reveal underlying disease?
Exactly. I certainly believe that some of the patterns we're seeing are previously undiagnosed comorbidities triggered by the stress of the virus. For example, if you have diabetes and you know you have diabetes and you get COVID, you're 4 times as likely to end up on a respirator. But guess what? If you don't know you have diabetes and it hasn't been revealed yet because it's under the surface, you are 8 times as likely to be on a respirator with COVID. So if you're told in the hospital and you have come to the hospital because of COVID, you're told in the hospital, guess what? You have diabetes. You're 8 times as likely to be on that respirator. Wow. And you didn't know you had diabetes.
Wow.
And also, that's why we test women. We see diabetes express itself so often in pregnant women. It is not the pregnancy that causes diabetes. It's that the sugar metabolism was already suboptimal. It wasn't ideal. And pregnancy puts a stress on the body. It was the tipping point. Or when marathoners drop dead of a heart attack, heart disease doesn't happen overnight. But a deep dive into your cholesterol particle size and the density, not just the surface cholesterol numbers, can predict a heart attack even if you look like $1 million. Now, conventional medicine doesn't teach conventional doctors how to think that way. they actually think looking deeper and doing more tests, which insurance doesn't want to pay for in general, as you know well, is a fishing expedition. But that data can prevent each one of us from dying of COVID and dying of disease in general. So the bottom line is, Pat, you don't have to wait to be symptomatic to reveal these underlying weaknesses. Certain data and tests can show where we're vulnerable, and we can reverse them. We can reverse disorders of aging like heart disease, diabetes, Alzheimer's, osteoporosis, and improve our chances of surviving pandemics like COVID if we know more about ourselves and we strengthen our immune system. We don't have these weaknesses with internally, and we don't have suboptimal health. So precision medicine gives each person the tools to do just that. Not one of my patients have been to the hospital with COVID, and some people had COVID, so I'm really proud.
That's a testament. Yes, that's a testament.
I know.
I have to ask you about Dr. Fauci. He said that we may see 100,000 new cases of COVID per day.
I know. I think that we don't know enough. I think people aren't in certain places in this country. They're thinking of COVID as a political condition, wearing masks. They're telling people to wear masks. I think that's the one most important message we can get out, that wearing masks protects you and everyone around you. And they're thinking that a mask, which is a foreign concept to all of us here. I know I felt that way.
Yes.
I went to Japan twice speaking about precision medicine in the last 2 years. And I felt put off by the masks that people wear in Asia. I really did. I didn't like the idea. And here in America now, we have to understand that in North America and South America, because without a mask, we are going to see COVID spread rapidly until we get an antiviral. And want me to tell you something else that's really scary?
Please, please.
There's no vaccine coming long. The vaccine is not going to treat COVID. The antivirals are going to treat COVID. And so the vaccines are a misconception too. So please, if there's one message you want, might want to open with on any of your health and well-being, which I love listening to. I listen to them all the time.
Fantastic.
Really,
thank
it's
you.
My go-to on the radio. It's wear a mask to save a life, which doesn't have to be yours, but it could be one of your loved ones. And it's sad when you see that one person with COVID can infect a ton of people around you, because the dissemination is huge. Because just one cough or one sneeze that throws tons of particles, and that's what does it. It's not touching objects. It's sneezing, coughing, speaking loudly, spreads these viral particles, and if they alight in somebody and that body picks it up and they have these comorbidities, you are going to get COVID, and the weak people will succumb, and that can include children. If they have the type of immune system, and we don't know enough about it, but we do know that children can succumb. There are places now in Texas where they're at 95% occupancy of the ICUs.
When can we expect the antivirals to kick in, to become available?
They're starting. The Remdesivir is working. There is hope in that. It's like Tamiflu for the flu. It will really help. And they're also learning how to save lives. And we flipped the survival. The survival rates in the hospital now is much better because treating the marked inflammatory cytokine release is really working with steroids. The coagulation factor that I mentioned in myself is really important. As you heard me tell you, I had COVID and I had coagulation in my gut, which meant that I had something called ischemic bowel and I was bleeding. And I actually started an aspirin, which sounds counterintuitive. Why do you take an aspirin when you're already bleeding? But it stopped coagulation in my body, and that's why the bleeding happened. So for some folks, and you might want to check with your doctor, taking a baby aspirin, even in anticipation, might be worthwhile. So please, anybody who might listen to this, and if you share that, you definitely check with your doctor to make sure it's safe. But a baby aspirin can be useful, just like people at risk of heart disease. There is a role for aspirin. Same thing with COVID. So in the hospitals, they're giving people Coumadin or warfarin, high doses of steroids. Methylprednisolone and dexamethasone has been shown to be good. I would ask your doctor to check your blood type. Type A puts you at more risk than type O. B is neutral. And high doses of vitamin C, and anybody could take vitamin C. It is not a risk factor for anything. So a gram of vitamin C a day is really useful. I actually take 2 grams of vitamin C and I get it IV as well. So those are ways we can protect ourselves. So in the hospital, they're actually saving lives. These wonderful, brave doctors are treating people with anticoagulants like Coumadin or warfarin or heparin. They're also using steroids, which have been shown save lives, methylprednisolone or dexamethasone, and there's scientific evidence, as well as vitamin C, IV. And then have your doctor check vitamin D levels. Vitamin D is not a vitamin. It's actually a hormone. And, you know, having higher doses of vitamin D, be careful if they're renal stones, but high doses of vitamin D are also useful.
Some people with COVID are still sick 3 months afterward. Is that you? Are you still feeling the effects? And
I am more than 3 months out.
And are you still feeling, so many people say they're 3 months out from, or even more, from their COVID experience, and they're still not 100%. They're way lower than 100%.
I agree. Okay. So not everybody. So there are folks with COVID who have absolutely no symptoms. In the story of a woman, a young woman who went home to be with her parents who were in their 80s. She was in her 20s. And when she was tested for antibodies, because both her parents got quite ill and they were secluded, her father was actually on a respirator and luckily he survived. She had very high levels of antibodies showing she had brought the virus home.
Oh.
Her parents got quite ill. She had no symptoms at all and she was exercising throughout it. Her parents were not so lucky, but they survived. I luckily did not have very severe symptoms, although I had a side effect infection in my gut and coagulation. I was very fatigued, so I found that I needed a lot more sleep. And you know me, I could keep going.
Yes.
Now I'm doing too little sleep. So for about 3 months, I needed extra sleep. And I would fall asleep at the drop of a hat. And other folks still experiencing it. It's like having mono, where you go for many months, 3 to 6 months. So take it seriously. And if your body's telling you to rest more, relax more, meditate, really do all the nourishing things your body needs, and it will make a difference, because we really don't know enough about the virus. We do know the virus lives on in certain organ systems, and it takes a while to clear. The more you do to support yourself and your system, the better off you're going to be. I did not resume yoga yet. I started exercising much later than I thought. I'm now beginning to do it, not as much as I did before. I really want to heal. I want to heal to be as strong as I can. So now I'm out more than 3 months. I was diagnosed March 18th. I found out March 23rd, very early. We were able to test antibodies and virus very early on in New York, in everybody. It was very early. We were very lucky to be able to do that. We stayed open throughout. Of course, I was quarantined. And I was quarantined for 6 weeks. Some people feel well at 2 weeks, but you still pay a price for it. So don't go out and about if you're not feeling well. So yes, the fatigue especially, and the folks, some of my doctor colleagues who are on respirators are still feeling ill, and they can't walk well. They're traumatized. And so luckily they survived, but it affects everybody differently, as I said.
That's a great example of what you were talking about to begin with.
Wear a mask and save a life. It might not be your own, but it definitely is going to be a loved one. And people think it's a political statement. It is not a political statement. It's about love and life and death. And if you wear a mask, you're really, really helping save a life. And that really is important. I actually said that before I knew I had COVID. I thought a lot about what this disease was going to do to people. And it was late at night, 9 p.m. I was still at the office Friday night, March 20th. I had been swabbed. And that night I was sitting, my team had written up, you know, the original draft, and I rewrote it, and it got sent out. I should send it to you so you see it. And I disagreed with the CDC. And I said, everyone should wear a mask. Because just thinking about the fact that we're so used to touching our face and nose and mouth, there's no way subconsciously to stop that. So I wrote that, and I said, listen, that's the one way you can stop contaminating yourself and anybody else until we know more. And now everyone agrees, but people think it's a political statement, and it's not a political statement. It's life and death. So save a life. Save your loved one. Save somebody's loved one, a child, your parent, anybody, your cousin, your favorite aunt. It doesn't matter who it is. Wear a mask.